listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio. National Bugle Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN.org. Today is Monday, and Monday means Mark Collette from Great Britain. Now, there's something a little bit interesting about Great Britain. It goes on daylight savings time a couple of weeks after we do. And I should have known this. I should have known because we had Andrew Hitchcock from Great Britain on the Dr. Duke show a couple hours ago, and he actually mentioned that. And it wasn't until about 10 minutes ago or so I thought to call Mark Collette. And sure enough, he wasn't aware that we had gone on daylight savings time. And you know something? Saturday morning when I woke up, I wasn't aware we were on daylight savings time. It just kind of slipped under the radar. But Mark is rushing back to his studio and will be joining us momentarily. So we will have him. Just might take a couple of minutes. And there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to him about. By the way, I suggest, if you haven't done this already, go to Mark's Twitter feed and subscribe. There's always lots of great stuff on there. For instance, what does he have up there now? He's got, clicking back to it. You've got this very fun picture of a subway. It looks like a subway in New York, and some girl's getting dragged off because she wouldn't take off her feet off of the seats in the subway car, and gave the officer a lot of grief when he tried to tell her to get her feet off the seat. Wow. And you know, this is a girl, looks kind of Asian. And you know, the thing is, Asians would never do that in their own country. So I don't know what's happening there. Go down a bit. He's got a video of Muslims marching through the streets of Denmark demanding a caliphate. I think Shakespeare was right. Something is rotten in Denmark. So you've got the video of them going through the streets and chanting. And then you go down a bit further. You've got a video of a woman. I don't know if she's at Walmart, but she is trying to get out of the store. She's in one of those little scooter wheel, powered wheel carts. She's very obese, and she can't fit through the door. She can't fit through the door. We've got something wrong with our society. I'll just go down a little bit further. And he's got a picture from a new, I guess, what would this be? A dramatic documentary or something? A drama series from the BBC, The Romans. And guess what? The Romans were Negroes. Who would have known? Of course, there's in some new movie about the Trojan War, Achilles was a Negro. So the Greeks were also Negroes, or at least the strong, heroic ones were. The Romans were Negroes. Cleopatra was a Negro, right? She was Greek. So they're rewriting our history. They're writing Europeans out of European history. Very, very interesting. So there's a lot that's going on. I know Mark will be with us momentarily. I give him a bit of chance to set up here, but he's got, well, I'll let him talk about this. There was an interesting speech that President Trump gave at a campaign event in Pennsylvania for the Republican candidate in, what's his name? I want to say Rick, I don't know what his name is. He's running for Congress. And he claims to have been Trump before there was Trump, which I'm sorry. I mean, the guy wasn't a businessman and doesn't talk about immigration, so I don't know what he's talking about there. Rick Saccone, is that his name? And he's not running a very good campaign and may lose it, and so it necessitated Trump to go out to Western Pennsylvania. But the good part of that was Trump made a really, really good and funny speech. I saw parts of it online. He called Maxine Waters a very low IQ individual, a very low IQ individual, which of course has prompted others to put up, you know, a best of Maxine Waters where she is sounding like a very low IQ individual. Lots of clips of her. It's amazing. He'll be, no doubt, Donald Trump is being called a racist for pointing this out. So that's good. He called out Oprah Winfrey, said he'd love to run against Oprah Winfrey. So it's good that you know, he's pushing back the boundaries. Who else is pushing back the boundaries? Our other president, which is Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin had an interview with Megyn Kelly of Fox News, well, formerly of Fox News. I guess now she's with NBC. And, you know, why she gets access to Putin, she asks stupid questions. What about these, you know, why did you try to interfere with our election? I mean, does she have any sense of history? Does she know anything about history? I mean, does she know that we openly openly rigged the 1996 election where the communist candidate Yevgeny name slips my mind all of a sudden, probably because it's not Yevgeny, but Gennady Zyuganov, the leader of the Communist Party, which had turned by that time rather nationalist and dare I say anti-Semitic. Gennady Zyuganov said if Jews want to act like Russians, they can stay, otherwise they should basically get the heck out. And so there's even a movie made about these people that the United States sent over to help rig the election. It's called Spinning Boris. It stars Jeffrey Goldblum, the Jewish actor who was in, what was it called, the Freeze or something, Big Freeze, and Jurassic Park and a lot of other big movies. He was in that movie. Does Megyn Kelly have any idea of what she's talking about? And so supposedly there's 13 people, Russian people, who took out Facebook ads in the middle of the election. Like, okay, that's a big deal, really? And Vladimir Putin says, I don't care. I couldn't care less. You know, they weren't working at his instruction. And who knows? They weren't necessarily Russians. They might have been people with Russian passports. They might have been Ukrainians with Russian passports. They might have been Tartars they might have been Jews with Russian passports. They might have been dual nationals. Wow. And so, of course, now he's under attack from the Zionist media. Who could have guessed? So, Mark, I don't suppose you're there yet. He will be okay. We will be hearing from Mark very, very soon. But, there is some debate within our people over what to think about Trump and what to think about Vladimir Putin. Well, with Trump, what I say is don't look towards him so much for leadership. Look at him as an asset. He is something that we can fight over, and if we fight well, we're going to get something out of him. Sometimes he's going to do the right thing, but we have to keep up the pressure. He's an asset. Hillary Clinton wouldn't have been an asset. There was nothing we could have done with Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz or these other people. Donald Trump, it's up to us to make him make America great again. It's really up to us, but we can do it. So, you know, and some people might want to do it from outside the Trump train. Sure, that's fine. But I don't think any of us should be looking at him as a Zionist agent. I do think we should be looking at him as an asset that we are fighting for, and we are fighting against the forces of Zionism, who are also fighting for him, right? I don't think it was any Zionist plan to put him in office. They didn't need him. They had Hillary, they had Jeb, they had everyone else. They didn't need him. Now that he's in there, there's some that are doing the Never Trump business and trying to impeach him. And there's others, because they always play both sides, there's others that are doing, well, if you can't beat him, join him and co-opt him. So they're trying to co-opt him, and we have to fight to maintain this asset that we worked so hard to put in. As for Vladimir Putin, I think if we were Russians, we might be saying the exact same things. I do think Vladimir Putin has a lot more experience at politics. I think, you know, in Trump's case, Trump willed himself into the presidency. Vladimir Putin, he lucked into the presidency. So, I mean, Putin, Donald Trump has skills that Putin probably doesn't have, but didn't need, because he didn't have to force himself into the presidency. It just fell into his lap. President Boris Yeltsin was such a mess that he was, I mean, he was going to lose the 96 election to Gennady Zyuganov. He was going to lose the 2000 elections, clearly. His support ratings were about 3%, 2 or 3%. I wonder who that 2% was. And he was clearly on his way out. He wasn't going to be able to win re-election. He was going through prime minister after prime minister, some of whom were Jewish, and not all. He had Viktor Chernomyrdin, who I don't believe was Jewish. He had Yevgeny Primakov, who was Jewish, but not necessarily such a bad guy. He had some other guy, I think with a Ukrainian last name, who was Jewish. I can't remember the name. I want to think it's Stefanovich or something, but I could be wrong on that. He was going through prime minister after prime minister, trying to find somebody that could bolster his popularity, stumbled upon Vladimir Putin. And Putin was able to exploit these terrorist bombings in Moscow and pin them on the Chechens. Maybe the Chechens were responsible. Maybe some people think it's a false flag. It's above my pay grade to know. I don't know. But at any rate, I do know that he was able to exploit them, get the Russians to rally around the flag, and lo and behold, with Prime Minister Putin's popularity skyrocketing, Putin's puppet masters told him it would be a good time for you to just resign, and let's have a snap presidential election. So Putin resigns. I'm sorry, Yeltsin resigns. I was talking about Yeltsin. Sometimes I get the names mixed up. Yeltsin resigns. Putin becomes acting president, runs for the presidency himself in 2000, and wins. He won as a puppet of the Zionists. That was his. He was there to save the oligarchy. But he was elected president. He had amassed a lot of political capital, a lot of popularity with his get tough on the Chechens business. And then he used his capital to take on the oligarchs. And like I've said many times, put some of them in prison, drove some of them out of the country, and forged an uneasy truce with the rest where they got to keep their fiefdoms as long as they stayed out of politics. That was the deal that incurred the wrath of world Zionism, especially in America, not as much in Israel probably, but especially in America. And but you know, he has been independent since then. But the thing is, unlike Donald Trump, he didn't have to build up his own power base before becoming president. Donald Trump did this by amassing a fortune and becoming, I guess, I don't watch TV, but it wasn't, didn't have the biggest TV show in America for a while with The Apprentice. So he became somebody that couldn't be ignored and was able to ride that into the White House. Incredible. But whereas, you know, he was amassing a fortune and building up a, you know, a celebrity status, he was not immersed in the details of administering a state the way Putin was. So Putin has was able to bring in a lot more talent and political experience than Donald Trump was. And so you see that Donald Trump's got a learning curve now, because he had to spend his first 70 years getting himself into a position where he could do that. So that's so I think if we were Russian, we'd look at Putin, maybe we'd say, you know, he's not hard enough on Zionism, on Jewish power, that he has signed into law European-style anti-Holocaust denial laws, that he has Jewish oligarch associates. Yeah, you could find fault. You know, is the glass half full or half empty? And if it's halfway of one or the other, if it's a half of a glass and the rest of the world is full glasses, just overflowing with Zionism and Jewish power, you got to look at that person who emptied out half the glass and say, wow, you know, that's important. And I think it is important. I think certainly as foreigners, when we're in an atmosphere where Vladimir Putin is being completely vilified and where they're literally trying to start a military confrontation with Russia, which would be detrimental to, very, very detrimental to the planet, that whatever doubts we have about him that I've mentioned before, legitimate causes for doubts, I think we got to put those aside. As far as I'm concerned, Putin's our guy, at least in the context of the current year, the politics, world politics, domestic politics of the current year. We can't let him be villainized. As for Donald Trump, we're going to have to fight over him. We're going to have to fight over him. He is the spoils, and we've got to fight. He is an asset. He may become a leader. Right now, he's not so much of a leader, but he is an asset. And I think he does have good instincts on a lot of things, but there's never been a presidency like the Donald Trump presidency. It shows how little power the president has vis-a-vis the deep state, meaning the permanent bureaucracy, vis-a-vis the media, vis-a-vis these what was once called civil society. Okay, we are coming up on the break. Hopefully by the time we're done with the break, we'll have Mr. Collette with us. So please stay tuned.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the show. This is National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, and I'm on the verge of being joined by Mark Collette. He'll be perhaps joining us by phone, but we're almost there. And he has got a very interesting video out. He releases videos every week, and this most recent video is on tolerance. And of course, we're sold that tolerance is our, you know, it's one of the founding principles of our democracy, of our civilization. It's tolerance. And Mr. Collette's got a somewhat different take on tolerance. And tolerance is being used as a weapon against us. And I had a friend who used to say, intolerance will not be tolerated. They have zero tolerance policy towards intolerance. So, I mean, you can certainly make the case that tolerance is it's a one-way street. When it, we have to tolerate being demonized. We as white people being demonized. We have to tolerate being written out of our own history. And yet they can't tolerate a Twitter account by Jared Taylor, even. Mark, are you with us?
I am finally. I was scuppered by daylight savings time changes.
Well, I'm sorry. I should have known to warn you because we were talking to Andy Hitchcock on David Duke's show, and he mentioned that you weren't on daylight savings time yet, and yet I didn't think to notify you about it.
No. Well, I have literally, I usually go to the gym in between the end of my working day and your show. So I'd made it. So I had a perfect run in mind, and I was into my perfect run when you called and were like, "Oh, you're on in a couple of minutes." And I was like, "Oh dear." At that point, I have now been on the crazy trip back to my office. So I am here. And I am ready to discuss whatever you have in mind.
Well, I wanted to talk first about your latest video on tolerance. I gave a brief introduction just now. Why is tolerance such a danger to us? Why is tolerance not one of these founding bedrock principles that Western civilization depends on?
Well, you see, tolerance is one of those very, very dubious virtues, which is more or less a one-way street. So when we talk of tolerance, we're always told who we should be tolerating, who we should be tolerant towards, who we should be accepting. And the problem with this is that everything we should be accepting is degenerate, anti-Western, anti-white. So we must tolerate the Muslim hate preachers in the shopping precinct. We must tolerate the idea of Sharia law in our cities, you know, a dual legal system. We must tolerate gay marriage, gay adoption. We must tolerate drag queen story hour for our children. We must tolerate transgenders wanting to bring up children and indoctrinate our children with their sickening ideas. So we must always learn to be tolerant. When I say we, I'm talking about the heterosexual, traditional, moral sort of white families. The traditionalists must always tolerate everything that they find morally repugnant. That's just the way it is. We are always the ones that must be tolerant. Yet we don't get the luxury of tolerance. People don't have to tolerate us. We are the people who get shown no tolerance whatsoever. So if we want to hold a private meeting, the same people who told us we must be tolerant of transgenders in schools and drag queen story hour and our children being indoctrinated and taken to mosques to learn about the religion of peace, which of course is anything other than the religion of peace, and all these people who've told us that we must tolerate these terrible things, they do not tolerate us. They do not allow us any tolerance. They take away our freedom of speech, our freedom of association. They try to get us sacked from our places of work. They try to have us harassed. They will even physically confront and attack us. Yet they're the ones that are pushing tolerance. So pretty soon you see they're not trying to build some utopia where we all accept each other, where the traditionalists accept the degenerates and the degenerates accept the traditionalists. No, they are using tolerance as a sledgehammer to which they use to attack the West. They are using tolerance as an ideological weapon to chip away at our culture and our society and our whole civilization, because it's something that's used as a one-way street to destroy the things we hold dear. But those destroying the things we hold dear never have to be tolerant of anything to do with us, because tolerance is never shown to us.
Well, we will be back after the break with more from Mark Collette. So stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. In case you missed the Friday show, that bumper music that you just heard is called Thursday. Thursday, and that is by Philbert Applebag. We have Mark Collette with us, and you are coming at us from the UK, which does not go on daylight savings time for another 2 weeks. But there has been some big news there. There was an American woman and her boyfriend, who is he American or European? I'm not
sure. He's Austrian.
Austrian. And they were denied entry into Britain. They're not being tolerated, are they?
No, well, this is a very, very interesting thing. Martin Sellner, the Austrian leader of Generation Identity, and his girlfriend, Brittany Pettibone, were banned from entering the UK. Now, he was due to give a speech at Speaker's Corner last Sunday. Now, that's something slightly different that I didn't particularly think was a good idea. And I'll just touch on why that is. I don't believe that it's a wise thing for us to announce big public events a long time in advance unless we have overwhelming numbers on our side. And the problem with some of these things, in the UK at the very least, they've ended in violence. And the problem is every time these events end in violence, it's us who always gets the blame, the media has a go at us, and sometimes it leads to large numbers of nationalists getting arrested, which is something that always bothers me, because we're in limited number as it is. So the problem is, when you have large numbers of nationalists then go to jail over these events, I always find that very disappointing, because it really, really does chip away at our numbers. And in the last year or so in the UK, we've had a serious problem where there was a couple of big events, one in Liverpool and one in Dover, which ended in, you know, quite a lot of violence and a riot in one case. And the problem was that in the wake of those events, some sort of 50 plus nationalist activists have been jailed for their part in those events. So I didn't really think what was going on was a particularly good idea. I didn't think it would have ended well. But before it even happened, Martin Selner and Brittany Pettibone were arrested at the airport. They were held by the immigration officers, who denied them entry to the UK and sent them back to Vienna. Now, I find, despite the fact that I disagree with these publicly sort of announced events, especially when they're held in places like London, because what you've got to remember is London is probably the most left-wing city in the UK. It's got a Muslim mayor. It's got a huge non-white population. It's already majority non-white British. And it is a place where I would say it's largely been lost to multiculturalism. So holding a event there, unless you have overwhelming numbers, can be very, very difficult. And as I said, I certainly don't want nationalists going along and getting attacked or worse still being jailed for their part in any violence. And we all know the state comes down far harder on us than they do on Antifa or any of these left-wing mobs. But denying people entry to the UK based on the fact that they wanted to come here and give a speech, talk about free speech, in fact, because that's what Martin Selner's speech was about, is absolutely shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And it just goes to show how the UK is lurching towards a police state. It's lurching towards a state where if you do not buy in to the British government's vision of what it is to be British, of what British values are, which are, of course, multiculturalism and this idea of tolerance, then you're simply not going to have a voice. But this all underlies something a lot worse. And there's a big issue here that people aren't talking about, that I want to talk about. Now, obviously, I am outraged that Brittany Pettibone and Martin Selner weren't allowed into the UK. It's ridiculous. They're not terrorists. They're not drug dealers. They don't have criminal records. They're not criminals. They're just people who have dissident views. But this isn't something new. And I've seen plenty of these conservative pundits up in arms. Oh, Brittany, oh, Martin. Well, what about all the others? Because this has been going on for decades. This has been going on as far back as 1962, when George Lincoln Rockwell was denied entry into the UK. He found his way into the UK and he was deported. We've also seen recently Don Black is banned from entering the UK. Richard Spencer, banned from entering the UK. Matthew Heimbach, Pamela Geller, Michael Savage. There are plenty of Americans who are banned from entering the UK simply for having dissident political views. And also other Europeans. Although his ban was overturned on appeal, Geert Wilders was banned from entering the UK. There's also been other nationalists from across Europe. There was a Christian Polish speaker who was banned from entering the UK due to speak at a Britain First rally. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been going on, and none of these conservatives said anything. Also, in the last week, we've seen the jailing of Paul Golding and Jada Franson, the leaders of Britain First. They were jailed for 18 weeks and 36 weeks, respectively. And what was their crime? Well, they protested outside the house of a Muslim rapist. And they were jailed for protesting outside the house of a Muslim rapist.
They weren't being tolerant.
Well, and this is your problem. The problem is, it's not just all about Brittany Pettibone and Martin Selner. This is a bigger issue. And the thing that's getting me with this issue is all these conservatives are now starting to get a bit itchy, because Brittany Pettibone is regularly interviewed by conservative magazines and outlets. But the fact is, this has been going on for years. For years, nationalists, patriots, those who speak out against mass immigration have been treated appallingly. I myself was taken to court on 8 counts of incitement to racial hatred for making completely legal speeches during the European election campaign of 2004, and these speeches were made in private meetings. This has been going on for years. This isn't something that is new. It isn't something that's just come about. It isn't something that is unique to this conservative government. This is something that has been practiced for years. And it's about time that everyone on the right came together and presented a united front for freedom of speech. Not, oh, it's terrible when it happens to Brittany Pettibone and Martin Selner, and it is terrible when it happens to them, but it's equally terrible when it happens to Richard Spencer, Don Black, David Duke, Geert Wilders, any of these people. Because free speech isn't something you can just apply to your friends. Free speech is something that has to be applied to everyone. And if people are coming to this country to give legal speeches, and these people are not criminals, they're not drug traffickers, they're not terrorists, stopping them and detaining them is absolutely scandalous, especially when you consider that Britain is allowing jihadis, people who went to Syria, people who went to Iraq to fight for ISIS, Britain is actually encouraging them to come back to Britain and giving them free council houses.
It just sounds insane, but of course it's all true. It's all documented. It's insane that people who express the opinion that Britain or other countries should not have to undergo this massive demographic and social transformation, that they're persona non grata. And then ISIS fighters, people who left Britain in this case to go to Syria in order to kill people and establish a caliphate that is intended to be a worldwide caliphate, that they're invited back into Britain. That's fine. I mean, I'd like to ask, how did we get to this point?
Well, we got to this point, largely speaking, and this might offend a few people, because of conservatives. We got to this point because those who style themselves as conservatives have repeatedly given in to every demand the left have made. And now we are facing a situation where a conservative government led by Theresa May, with the Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, who's also a conservative, these people are now the greatest threat to freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Not the left, but conservatives. And this is the problem. You see, conservatives are not our friends. Conservatives do not conserve anything. All they do is gently shift left at a slightly slower pace than the Marxists. So what the Conservatives stand for today, the Labour Party would have stood for maybe 10 years ago. Mm. When the Conservative Party legalised gay marriage, that wasn't a Marxist government. It wasn't a Labour government. It wasn't the Liberal Democrats. It was conservatives that legalized gay marriage in the UK. That should be a wake-up call for anyone listening to this show, especially for those in the UK, that these conservatives, they are not a solution. They just present a slightly slower and more drawn-out death for the West than the openly Marxist Labour Party and the pro-immigration Liberal Democrats. It's essentially like being in a car heading towards the edge of the cliff. You get to choose between Labour, the Liberal Democrats, and the Conservatives. The Liberal Democrats are driving at 90 miles an hour, so you're going pretty fast. The Labour Party, probably about 80 miles an hour, so not quite as bad as the Liberal Democrats, but still hurtling forward. And the Conservatives, they're dragging their heels. They'll drive the car at about 40 miles an hour. But either way, whichever you vote for, you're still heading in the same direction. You're still heading towards oblivion, just at differing speeds. Mm-hmm. And all this talk of we need a petition, all this talk of we need to write to our MPs, we don't. A petition and letters aren't going to do anything. If you want to change the way the government treats you, you need to remove the government. And I don't mean through violent means. I mean through the electoral process. You need to get off your bum, you need to get active, and you need to start campaigning. Because if you don't like your MP, if you don't like what your MP stands for, don't think that you can change their mind. You can't. Your MP is your enemy. If you want to change the way you are governed, do not expect anyone else to do it for you. We as people must stand up and we must form political parties, organizations, and movements that can take power. So when we don't like something, we actually have the power to influence and change the way things happen so that we can make the country a better place. Because sure as hell, we cannot rely on these traitorous politicians to do it for us.
Well, that's right. I'd like to make a point here. You're absolutely right when you're talking about the conservatives. I know you're talking about the conservatives in England, and you could say the same thing here in the United States. But, you know, I have my earliest political involvement was demonstrating against the Vietnam War. And my political trajectory came through anti-war activism. And, you know, the anti-war activism also included anti-Zionist war activism, which is what got me awakened to the Jewish issue 30 years ago, at least 30 years ago. And, you know, the way I look at it is you in the United States and worldwide, you have a Jewish agenda or Zionist agenda, however you need to say it, and they don't put all of their eggs in one basket. They don't, like if you look at the United States, yeah, the Jewish influence in the Democratic Party and the Jewish domination of the Democratic Party preceded the Jewish domination of the Republican Party, but they were both ongoing projects. And in recent decades, you've had the Jewish agenda, the Jewish social agenda, the domestic agenda was pursued through Democrats, and the Jewish foreign policy agenda, until recently, was pursued through Republicans. And it was almost a sure thing that the Republicans were going to fight losing causes, losing battles. You know, it was like a rigged game. You knew they were going to lose on a lot of these social issues, especially where, you know, homosexuality, abortion, lots of other things. And the game seemed rigged against and of course, you always had hawkish Democrats who were gung-ho for war. But to the extent you had an anti-war movement, it was more in the left wing of the Democratic Party. But they were also, I mean, they were going to lose. It was a rigged game against them. And of course, now you've gotten to the point where the Democrats and the liberal Democrats, the progressive Democrats, have become the most warmongering force in American politics. It's gotten to that point. So it's just it's amazing. You know, the complaints that you hear, rightly from yourself, that conservatives let all these things happen regarding the demographic and social transformation of the societies. You could hear formerly, you know, anti-war, say progressive Democrats in the United States making the same points that, you know, Clinton or Obama or these people, they get the votes, they get the votes of people who don't want war, and then they pursue as warlike, if not more warlike, agenda. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. Don't you think so?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously, the Iraq War was the last major war we were involved in where we had huge numbers of troops on the ground. And that conflict in Iraq was sold to the British public on a lie, on a litany of lies, in fact. I did a whole podcast on that about how wars for Israel drive mass immigration. It's on my YouTube channel. Now, the interesting thing about that is the prime minister that took us into that war was Tony Blair. Now, Tony Blair was a Labour prime minister, a left-wing prime minister, someone who, in his youth, was staunchly anti-war. And it just goes to show that these people, they don't have any real differences. You know, at times we have seen constantly the left, the Democrats or the Labour Party here, being anti-war when the Conservatives have talked of war, or when there has been, you know, military spending, you're constantly calling for, you know, nuclear disarmament and the likes. But as soon as there's another war for Israel, those people are on board so quickly. They are so quick to jump on the war bandwagon. It's unbelievable. And you can see that whoever you vote for out of those mainstream parties, you're essentially voting for the same person, because it's the same clique that are always pulling the strings. And when you vote Labour, when you vote Conservative, when you vote Liberal Democrat, you are voting for the destruction of our freedoms, the destruction of our civilization, and ultimately the destruction of our people.
And I think we're about to go to break. I don't hear the music yet. I just want to make sure your important words are going to be heard. Okay, we're good. Well, your words were heard.
Good.
No, it's huge. In regarding the wars, you know, they have two lines that they sell us. If they're aiming at you know, patriotic conservative people, it's like we have to go to war to protect us, right? And then when they're aiming at the liberals, it's like we have to go to war to protect them, right? And it's a humanitarian intervention, so it's the pictures of the baby in a gas mask, or you know, the baby washed up on the shore. That's what they do. So you know, they're very effective with their propaganda and with their public relations. So we are skipping the break, which is fortunate, because you know, we didn't get to hear you during the first segment. Do you have anything else? You know, your Twitter feed is very interesting. I was introducing that towards the beginning. And, you know, you had one clip of a march through Denmark of Muslims demanding a caliphate. Is this just like something, some minor incident that you're blowing out of proportion? How widespread is this type of march?
Well, these types of march are quite widespread. But what's more worrying isn't necessarily these marches. It's what you don't see. You see, when Muslims move into an area, they colonize it very rapidly. They import their culture to the exclusion of the native peoples. And once they've done this, they turn areas which at one time were very British, identifiably British, and they turn them into places where anyone who was British would feel completely out of place. They'd feel like they're in a foreign country. And this is a problem that we're facing. And you can actually see these people were marching, calling for a caliphate, but you can see mini caliphates popping up all over the UK and all over Europe. And when people do stray into these areas, when white people do stray into these areas, or non-Muslims, should I say, stray into these areas, there can be serious problems. And we've seen that all over Europe. We saw that on New Year's Day, the early hours of New Year's Day in France, where two police officers strayed into one of these. They described this as a ghetto. They're not my words. And they were brutally beaten by these inner-city gangs.
And you put up a YouTube video on that. We only have a few minutes left. And one of the reasons I like having you on and why I support your work is you don't just describe the problem. You actually have practical proposals for fixing the situation. How would you go about? What policies should Britain enact in order to extract itself from this, you know, this dead end?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is we need to actually control our borders. Now, I find it kind of ironic that, well, very ironic, that two young people trying to enter the UK, they swooped on them straight away. They knew exactly where Brittany Pettibone and Martin Selner were, and they swooped on them. they were detained, they were turned around, they were put on a plane straight back to Vienna. They weren't allowed in. Now, it's amazing that they can move that quickly and decisively for two people who pose, you know, no physical threat to anyone. You know, these people aren't fighters. Brittany Pettibone probably weighs about 8 stone, and Martin Selner, he's a young lad. He's not some, you know, street fighting man who's coming here to cause terror and create problems. These people, they're just a young couple. Now, the first thing we need to do is apply that kind of logic to the hundreds of thousands of immigrants swamping this country every year. I mean, the government estimates that we let in around 200,000 to 250,000 illegal immigrants every year. Well, why aren't our border force being effective in preventing those people flooding into this country? Well, quite simply, because ultimately the people in charge are invested in destroying us, and they want them coming here. So that's the first thing. And the second thing we need to do is we need to start moving around the country with teams of people and clamping down on these enclaves that are filled with illegal immigrants. There are entire factories, entire streets. There are fields full of illegal immigrants working at different times of the year, working illegally. There are factories full of these people. There are houses full of them. These people could quite quickly be rounded up and shipped home. And people who say that's wrong, it's not. They're criminals. They are illegal immigrants. The clue is in the name. They're here illegally. They shouldn't be here. And that would be something which would be supported by the majority of the population. Mm. I believe that,
Care of people who aren't there yet and people who are there illegally. What about the people who are there illegally?
Well,
legally.
That's very, very, there's a very, very quick fix to this. And that is quite simply to ensure these people aren't incentivized to live here. 80% of the Muslim population in the UK are not in full-time employment. They're claiming benefits. Now, the fact of the matter is, we don't need those people claiming benefits. We don't need that drain on our society. And if we remove those welfare benefits from these people, they would have no incentive to stay here. And that's what we need to do. We need to disincentivize these people from coming here. We need to take away their benefits. We need to take away their religious privileges. And we need to give them a healthy sum of money to buy back their passports and send them somewhere else.
Sounds like very wise policy. Well, I look forward to having you come back again next week. And, of course, people can always catch you on the David Duke Show on Fridays. And you have your podcast on Wednesdays. And you release a video on every Thursday. So, yeah, best thing to do is probably follow Mark's Twitter feed. He's very active. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.